You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, the official expanded universe podcast of StarWarsReport.com.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number 11 of Star Wars Beyond the Films at StarWarsReport.com and on Middle Earth Network Radio. You can also find us on StarWarsFanWars.com, the home of Star Wars fan audio. We are all over the place. You can visit us on Facebook, catch us on Twitter. For right now though, let's get down to business. This is episode number 11, being aired in March of 2012. Our topic today, the idea of personal canon. I'm one of your hosts, Nathan P. Butler. With me, of course, as always, my stalwart companion, Mr. Mark Herleman. Hey, Mark.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Yes, buddy. Yes, yes. Whistler's here, too. And not just me and Nathan. We also have Aaron Goins, one of our great, fantastic writers over at StarWarsReport.com, our little website there. You can catch some of his excellent little articles over there. I believe you had one not too long ago on clones that was probably one of our biggest hitters. And then you had another one recently that knocked that one right out of the charts. Right, Aaron?
I'm not sure exactly which one you're referring to, but yeah. Good to be talking to you guys tonight.
Or maybe I'm thinking about the traffic you've been monitoring. That's probably the one I'm thinking of. We were talking back in the background about Wikipedia linking to us. We're all excited. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I did notice that Wikipedia linked to us, so I'm not exactly sure exactly where that link came from, but yeah, it was from Wikipedia.
I haven't been able to hunt it down myself. I'm like, where is it? It's here. I know it. Aaron told me.
Nice. So wait. So link to Wikipedia. I'm wondering if you're being used as a source, you know, given that sources from Leland Chi from me through email, they don't count. But that's a whole other issue. With the whole issue of the sourcing and such. But that kind of gets to the heart of what we're dealing with in this episode, which is the whole idea of, you know, how valid a source of information is when it comes to Star Wars is often referred to as canon. And there's different levels of canon. We'll get into that, kind of delineate them a little bit. But when it really comes down to it, what we're focusing on this time around is sort of stepping beyond those boundaries, the idea of personal canon, essentially the idea that a Star Wars fan can pick and choose what they read, what they view, what games they play, that sort of thing, what they decide to accept as part of the saga from their personal point of view, and that whether or not that is a valid approach to Star Wars fandom, or is it more valid to focus specifically and strictly on the way that Lucasfilm has set it up. This idea of personal canon has become a very contentious thing from time to time in online communities. I guess let's just kind of zip around the table here, since I'm facilitating this sucker, and see what are your initial takes on just this idea of personal canon. Aaron, as our guest this time around, why don't you go ahead, what's your take on the validity or the idea of personal canon?
I think when it comes to personal canon, I think it's one of those things that's a little bit hard to really define. And I know, I'm sure we'll get into the details of it as we talk, but I just feel like having a personal canon, it almost doesn't really make any sense for me personally. But that's just me, and I know other people have different opinions, but I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, see, for me, I see it like a coping strategy. I mean, you know, I see a lot of people like, they're like, one comment that comes up a lot is Jino, Jason in name only. And that used to drive me up a wall. You know, I accept the good with the bad. I did not like what happened to Jason's character, but I didn't take it to the point where I was like, he's just Jason in name only. This isn't Jason anymore. But there were a lot of people that did that. And I think that that's like the heart of personal canon for a lot of people is, you know, everybody's got their own opinion. And so the personal canon kind of becomes a defensive mechanism of, well, I don't like this, so it's out of my personal canon. I don't even pretend it exists. I don't look at it, never read it. I don't want to know about it. It is not there. And I think that the issue there, though, is that you've got everybody with their own take on what is that personal canon. And like Nathan said, you know, we have a concrete one, which we call the G-level canon, the George Lucas canon, or the father tier, or whatever. You know, I mean, it's so convoluted, the system they have. I could see why people would want to, you know, enforce their own personal canon in their mind just to make sense of it all. But it will get complicated when you're dealing with multiple fans and you're talking about something, and if they're talking about something you choose not to believe in, it's going to get a little difficult for you, I would say.
You know, I've been dealing with this issue of canon in one form or another for a while now, you know, not just as a fan reading stuff, but dealing with the Star Wars timeline gold, trying to figure out what counts, what doesn't, where does it fit, where do I need to put in little notes to say, you know, this is somewhat of a quasi-canonical source, we're not entirely sure where it fits. Doing that sort of thing has kind of made this both a headache and, I guess, a learning experience over the years since 97. And we even had a couple of special editions on Chrono Radio back when I was doing that show back in the early 2000s or aughts or whatever we're calling them now, called The Canon Question. The idea was to go through these special editions and delineate it, only now it's grown a couple of times since then. To visualize this thing, just to put it out there for those who aren't entirely familiar with all the ins and outs of the way the canonical structure works, is you essentially have, from top down, there's G-level canon, as Mark just mentioned, or G-canon. That's anything that George Lucas has created or that is a direct influence from George Lucas himself. The elements, not necessarily individual stories. Years ago, it was individual stories. They're either in continuity or out. It's not like that anymore. Now it's individual elements, you know. So if this idea in this episode of the Clone Wars came straight from George, it's G canon. If not, if it's just the Clone Wars creative team, it can be T, and so on. So you have G-level canon coming straight from George, or adaptations immediately thereof. So that would include, I guess, if you look back at the way that they've made decisions as to what counts when things contradict, it would essentially mean that we almost have six different parts of G-level canon. You get the radio dramas, which have tended to be trumped by the novelizations. Those have tended to be trumped by the original films, which were then trumped by the special editions, then trumped by the DVD editions, then trumped by the Blu-ray editions. But that's all George's creation, and generally they're so close to each other, it's not something that ever really becomes an issue between them very often. And then you wind up with the next step down, essentially the continuity canon, which is C-canon. The expanded universe in general is all the licensed stuff. It includes C, S, and N canonical levels. C is the continuity stuff. The stuff is meant to fit together, like the Bantam novels, the Del Rey novels, the Dark Horse comics, now the old Marvel comics, and that sort of thing. You take a step down, you got S canon, secondary canon. It's basically quasi-canon. We're not sure if it fits. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but it's all up to whether or not it gets referenced in something else. Once it does, and they kind of play around with it, maybe it'll become part of continuity. We just don't quite know yet.
And that's also where C-level canon can get knocked down into S-level canon because of stuff with George Lucas. And that's where it gets a little fishy at times, too.
This is very true. This is very true because a lot of things are changing right now. The level immediately beneath that has been in-level canon, which is essentially the infinities, the apocryphal stuff, the stuff that's licensed, but it's not part of the continuity. But you notice I left out a level there because it's brand new, at least brand new in the grand scheme of things, and that is from 2008 to now, as we've been getting the Clone Wars, there's now a T-level canon, and it sits essentially between George Lucas's level and the continuity. And once you add that in there, I think it's not so much the characters of the expanded universe. Where I've seen personal canon come up the most is the Clone Wars and just the sheer amount of contradictions there are. And now that we see this T canon coming in and changing things that drastically affect C canon, some people are saying, you know, just throw the Clone Wars out completely. Some say throw out the old stuff completely. I mean, it becomes kind of a controversial thing. And once we get this incredibly detailed structure of canon in mind, it's for a lot of us, I think it's kind of hard to break out of it. For others, it almost feels like there are chains that we're being oppressed by and we must break out of it. You know, I guess it depends like on point of view.
That's great. I love the chains. For me, the T-level canon threw me off for the longest time. It was like, okay, if it gets the same level as G-level, then why aren't we just calling it G-level? And that's where the tears came in. It took me a while to wrap my head around the tears. I can't remember when Lucas said it, but he basically said it was a three-tier setup, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost kind of thing, where he was the Father. Anything that came from him was top dog. The Son was everything under the licensing, the books, the comics, the games, all that stuff, and that the Holy Ghost was fan fiction. And then basically the canon levels all were the holocron, where they were doing the internal tracking. And that's why they gave it the T level, was to differentiate from, like, the films or, you know, other certain things George did. So it was more like a system of defining. Whereas I always looked at it as like, okay, well, it was biblical. It was like, well, this came from George, it's G level. Well, this came from this, it's C level, until it got knocked down to S. And that's where it always started to confuse me. But that whole tier system is kind of overlooked. I mean, we don't really ever talk about the tiers so much. It's always what canon level. And there is that sense of, you know, if it's G level canon, well, you know, like you said, it trumps all. It bothers me at times because I joke about it. George could decide tomorrow, I'm going to do a 3D Star Wars film, I'm going to put it on Blu-ray, and I'm going to have Luke die in the second one, and he's not in the fifth one, and he's not in the sixth one. He could do it. He's not, but he could do it. And if he did, we would all have to accept that Luke dies in Empire Strikes Back. It's an extreme, you know, problematic example here, but technically, that's the system we've got in place. And there's a part of me that does not like that system. But then there's a part of me that accepts it for what it is. So, I mean, I guess I can understand where people are coming from with the personal canon. Because a lot of people, if they just didn't read the comic, then they wouldn't know. Or if they didn't read the book, then they wouldn't know there was this issue. Or if they didn't see the Clone Wars cartoon, they wouldn't have an issue. And this was me when the Clone Wars first came out. Season 1, I didn't watch any of it on TV. I had no interest because I was just like, well, I don't know if I even want to include this in the stuff I want to read. But then the Clone Wars touched on the Mandalorians, and there was the whole Karen Travis controversy, the travesty that came out, as it was. And I stopped and was like, you know, I better start paying attention to this because it's changing the books. And by the way, I saw that as, well, a change would happen in the Clone Wars that would knock something out, but the books would then have to retcon and find a way to make it work. And, you know, not always was it something that was a great addition. I mean, you know, there were ways you can do some of them where it wouldn't have had to have thrown something out. And that, you know, as a fan that likes the C level, to me, I find that as the more encompassing of it all. It takes George level stuff, it takes the other stuff, and it tries to find a way to make it all work. To me, that is the heart of where my passion lies. So I'm always, like, trying to find ways to make it work. But that's where it gets frustrating, though. As a fan, I think it comes down to your personal, where you care. You know, if you don't care about the comics and the books, you're not going to care really what happens in the Clone Wars if it affects those. But if you read these projects, you're going to care. Greedo, the Lesser and the Greater. I didn't read the story, I wasn't at least up to date on it enough that I cared when they changed that little bit of backstory. But yet when it came to the Mandalorians, I was really paying attention. I was like, okay, what's going to happen here? Ryloth, that was another one that for a long time just burned me. And then I saw somebody in a forum, I believe it was on the Force.net forums even, where someone had this really off the wall, he was a scientist, and he broke down how a planet could be stationary and still have an orbit to a degree, and it was just insane. It was like 5 paragraphs long, and it completely explained away the retcon issue that we were having with Ryloth no longer spinning, or no longer tide locked. And so, I mean, there's some awesome opportunities here for people. But at the same time, it brings up some interesting thoughts. I mean, personal canon can get in the way a lot, at least I think. So what do you think, Aaron?
The problem with personal canon is, where does it stop? Where does it start? Where does it end? Like, are we talking about the movies are definitely canon, and then the expanded universe could be possibly in your personal canon? Or can you even go as far as to saying certain ones of the movies aren't even in your personal canon? Well, today I saw on a blog, and somebody had posted that in their personal canon, the only thing they saw as canon was A New Hope. And then everything else after that was not in their personal canon. So
an Alex Guinness version, huh?
Yeah, so they were basically saying they wanted to keep the idea that Luke and Leia could end up together, that they weren't brother and sister, that Vader wasn't Luke's father. And all of this stuff they wanted to have in their personal canon. So it's like, how far do we take it, you know?
To me, it's like an island. I mean, if you go that far, you set yourself up on an island where you can't interact with any other fans because you're bound for conflict at some point. Yeah, I think of Simon Pegg, though, and his, you know, his anger with the prequels. And for him, those movies don't exist, you know, and yet here he's about to be voicing in Clone Wars. And, you know, a lot of people were upset by that. I found it was kind of interesting. I see him as a fan. He drew a line. I mean, yeah, he pokes a lot of fun at the prequels, but, in you know, nobody loves 100% of the Star Wars saga. I mean, I'm a great EU fan, but there's still elements of it that I just really don't like. I wish they hadn't gone there, but I'm an accepting fan. Not everyone's so accepting. Simon Pegg is an example of this. You know, he drew a line. I'm not going over this 1997 line.
you know, you bring up an interesting example there of the Greedo thing. You know, we started out with Greedo, who got backstory with Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina. Then the backstory was changed thanks to that deleted scene and the novel scene for The Phantom Menace. And then it got changed again, in a sense, where there, at first it was, well, it's not really the same Greedo. I mean, it's Lucas was meaning it to be, but it's not really the same Greedo. See, it's the elder and the younger, only to wind up now, you know, Greedo is just as ineffectual in many ways in the Clone Wars as a quick little bit part that then wiped out that previous backstory for Greedo the younger pretty much entirely and turned the elder and the younger into the same one again. That's what Mark was getting at there, folks, about the whole idea of, you know, you can knock something from a higher level of canon down to lower. It depends on what Lucas is doing. But in that case, that's still fitting within the confines of it, recognizing the existing structure that's there. I would say that when it comes to personal canon, I don't know. I'm torn on the issue because I'm usually pretty visceral on the whole personal canon thing, because if you're going to do any discussions or debating about Star Wars online, if you're going to be doing it in forums, if you're going to do it on panels at conventions, whatever, if you're going to have an intellectually honest discussion about the saga, your personal canon can't enter into this thing. If you're just sitting there deciding what you want to read, okay, in my opinion, this doesn't happen because I just want to read up to this point. I don't want to believe that the Sith were constantly rising and falling. There were all these different Sith wars. I'm going to cut it a little bit before the films, a little bit after the films. Therefore, there's just the one, and Luke's ending of Return of the Jedi is much more impactful because I'm not seeing all these other Sith empires and whatnot. That's fine. If what you're saying is that's how you're going to read, partake of it, enjoy it, to you, that's what you will focus upon to the essentially to the exclusion of everything else. But the moment you start making arguments in debates, in discussion about Star Wars in general, when you are using your own personal canon as the basis for that opinion, one of two things starts to happen. Either A, you come in with an open mind and you just want to have a discussion, but having had that personal canon perspective, your pool of information is much more narrow, and you wind up approaching the discussion from a position in a sense of ignorance, not ignorance as in, hey, you're ignorant. I mean, ignorance as in, you know, you don't have the facts, just, you know, lack of that knowledge because you just haven't read the stuff or checked the stuff out. You're either walking into that debate without all the necessary ammunition, so to speak, to be able to engage in a fierce firefight of ideas, or you walk in keeping that personal canon mindset, and you're essentially, I mean, you're on false grounds. You are walking into a debate from an intellectually dishonest perspective because you're coming in and essentially arguing that certain things don't exist that do, or ignoring other things that do, just focusing on the evidence from your personal preferences. And usually what I find is that when someone walks in with that, it falls apart. The debate falls apart. It becomes a flaming thing back and forth, and you basically wind up with a lot of I don't want to say bad blood, but a lot of frustration on both sides because it's not an intellectually honest discussion. You're not going to convince the person who is so myopic on their own personal canon view to embrace a wider view, because that's what personal canon is all about, is your choice. And at the same time, you're not going to convince someone who is looking at it from a more realistic point of view of, hey, we don't make these decisions. Lucasfilm makes the decisions. Taking that sort of pragmatic view, you're not going to convince someone with that point of view to focus down just on what is considered your personal canon, unless you literally frame the debate as, okay, only talking about this, 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 and this, what did you think? But you don't frame debates like that generally. Yeah. You just discuss, and it winds up getting out of hand. So usually I'm against the idea of personal canon, unless it's something you keep to yourself. It's very much like some people would prefer with religion. You know, that should be a personal thing. Keep it to yourself. But when you're out in the broader world, then you need to at least acknowledge that there are other points of view that exist, perhaps even ones that supersede your own as far as, you know, factual basis or spiritual basis, depending on your point of view goes. There's got to be some differentiation between the personal and the public.
Yeah. Now, you know, that makes me think of something, kind of flip it on the script here. Now, I'm going to ask you guys real quick, if you guys could go and say anything in the EU or in the saga, like in my case, I'm a Han shoots first guy, where even though I know Greedo shot first, I just can't accept it. I love Han the other way. And so even though I watch the other scene, in my mind, I always see Han shooting first. What would you guys say is your personal canon in any of, you know, the saga, the EU, everything? You know, is there any scenes or anything like that to you, you would rather so much it wasn't there that in your own personal canon you've kind of deleted it or ignored it or whatever?
I don't really have anything, to tell you the truth. I'm kind of, when it comes to Star Wars, I kind of accept pretty much everything that's out there. So there's nothing that I look at and I think, oh, you know what? That doesn't count in my mind. Because in my mind, it all counts. I mean, other than maybe, you know, obviously the end canon stuff. Some of the secondary...
Maybe the holiday special?
Yeah. Some of the S-canon stuff, like the Marvel comics and things like that, I really never read. So I guess in my mind, those things didn't happen, but it's because I didn't read it, not because I'm denying it. But
yeah,
I guess...
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if there was one thing I could change in the EU, not necessarily something that I deny happened, but if I could change it, it would be killing off Anakin Solo way too early. But that's a whole other conversation.
You know, I'm kind of with Aaron here. I don't think there's anything that I would personally necessarily say I don't accept as having happened. I mean, I don't. For me, my personal canon is literally I want to look at it from the perspective of the way that they look at it so that I can be accurate with the timeline, the Star Wars timeline gold and everything. But I will say, you know, there are some things I would like to have seen go differently or not to be there at all. For instance, I mean, now we're getting, it seems like, much more information pertaining to Mortis, thanks to things like Dawn of the Jedi and whatnot. But there's a part of me that wishes that we never got the Mortis explanation for anything about the prophecy of the Chosen One. Unless it's just an alternate prophecy of the Chosen One, given the fact that it contradicts so much that Lucas had said over the years about the prophecy. Or, you know, toss out the stuff that is essentially meaningless, or toss out the stuff that's just bad, like Tales from Mos Eisley with Hegg's Tale, that bizarre quasi-time travel story. But even then, I mean, you sort of... It's one of those things, if you love the saga, you kind of accept it, blemishes and all. You know, you accept it even when the rocks are in front of R2-D2 from one angle and gone from the other. You know, because in Lucas's vision, of course, those rocks were always there and then gone. You know, he's never changed his vision. I would say, in my case, it's more a matter... I wish there was more clarity on certain issues of canon so it didn't leave certain things up to fans to decide. Such as, for instance, you take something like Star Wars Tales. There's been a lot of discussion on individual stories as to what's canon, what's not. And for a while there, they were essentially leaving it ambiguous. It could be in, it could be not. Then they slapped the infinity symbol on it that was supposed to mean could be in, could be not, and was taken as, well, none of it's in for a while by many. And then it changed gears again in the issue that I wound up writing for in 21. It changed to we're going to just label each individual story. There are still a lot of stories from the pages of Star Wars Tales and other sources, but especially that one, that have questionable canonical status. And it just seems like it's one of those things we may never get a satisfactory answer to. I will toss out a somewhat controversial thought here, though, that the way that I guess this is sort of a personal canon thing, the way I approach the Clone Wars on the Star Wars Timeline Gold has rankled some people. Because at this point, I don't see a way that you can easily reconcile the cartoon series and the comics. And personally, I'd be fine with either or I'd be fine with a nice integration of them. I just want to see how they decide to make it fit in the long run. I'm curious how this is all going to fit, because we got good stories in both now, especially with some of the more recent Clone Wars stuff. But in my mind right now, it's almost as if you get to the point of the Clone Wars right after Attack of the Clones, and it's as if the timeline diverges, and I have to take the approach of looking at these as two completely different sets of stories until it merges again at Revenge of the Sith. And for now, we've got that weird, you know, two different paths to the same endpoint thing going on with Clone Wars. So I guess I don't know if by not trying to force those two together now and shoehorn it together without any official explanation is a form of personal canon. But if it is, then I guess I'm guilty of that one. But just as with that, if I were to go into an online debate, the only way to be intellectually honest would be to approach it considering both sources and recognizing which ones currently take precedence. Otherwise, I'd be walking in on false grounds.
I think part of the problem with all the confusion with canon and continuity within Star Wars is Lucasfilm themselves haven't been very clear. I mean, I know we have all these levels that have been laid out kind of by Leland, but it seems like if you talk to George Lucas and you see the different interviews that he's had, he basically says that if it's not in his vision, if it's not in his movies, that it's a parallel universe. It's not even the same continuity. But then you see stuff from Leland Chee where he says, oh, yes, it is all on the same continuity. So it's almost like they don't even agree within their own company what is canon and what is in continuity and what's not. So that's confusing to the fans, which I think makes people come up with some of these personal canon things.
Yeah, one of my personal canons was that each continuity level in and of itself was its own continuity and its own dimension.
Yeah, because then when you start talking about parallel universes as opposed to it all being one big universe, then you're, you know, that's a whole other thing. Then all of a sudden you don't have to worry about if the Clone Wars TV show fits with the Clone Wars comics because they're parallel universes.
I would love to be able to see something like that actually be endorsed by Lucasfilm itself. Something that does create such a, I'm sure it'd be a controversial decision to essentially have multiple continuities that aren't considered infinities or in canon type stuff. But to say that, okay, there's the films and the Clone Wars cartoon series, that is a continuity, that is George Lucas's vision, and then the expanded universe that he has allowed to be created beyond his own vision, well, that's, you know, the original version of the Clone Wars plus the other EU stuff and the films, just maybe not with the Clone Wars cartoon series put into the mix. I think that would be a nice, simple solution, and if they were to come out and say something like that, I think we could all kind of go with it. The problem, of course, being that the whole point of Lucasfilm's approach to the Star Wars saga over the years, with very few exceptions in terms of, like, you know, goofy parodies and stuff like that, has been that, you know, the selling point is it's all one continuity. It's all meant to link together. They'll iron out the kinks here and there, iron out the blemishes and whatnot, but it will all eventually wind up, you know, being somewhat interconnected. At least that's the hope at some point. But, I mean, even then, even when you have stuff like where there's the issue of higher levels of canon trumping others, that's not even always necessarily the case. If you want to talk about ambiguity, I mean, it's not just ambiguity and not necessarily delineating everything very easily or labeling everything with its canon level on the books or the comics or whatever or anything like that, but you take something like what Lucas says about, you know, if it's in the films, then, you know, it's true in what happens. You take something like, say, Boba Fett, and from the standpoint of Lucas, he said in interviews, you know, Boba Fett, you know, in my mind, he's dead. And then he acknowledges that, but for the purposes of the EU stuff, for the purposes of this expanding continuity of the licensed works, you know, I've allowed or they've allowed the character to live again. So essentially, you have examples like that, not many of them. But examples where a character may die in one place and show up in another, Lucas may give one answer to something in his explanation of the films themselves, and the EU is allowed to go a different direction with it. You have these few instances where essentially C canon winds up being allowed in special circumstances to trump even the T or the G canon. In other words, the stuff that is licensed being allowed to trump the stuff that is Lucas's direct or influenced vision. And I think that just makes the picture even more muddy. I still don't think it's a valid justification for the idea of personal canon from a public perspective. But it's certainly, the whole idea of personal canon, I think Mark's right, it's essentially a coping mechanism. It's, look at all this really, really confusing stuff out there, and if I can't grab a hold of all of it in the big picture, and honestly, I'm not sure I would be able to if I hadn't actually started back in 92 reading all this stuff as most of it was coming out. Only Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising was out at the time in the novels. Only some issues of Dark Empire was out in the comics other than the really, really early stuff. I don't think I could handle it. I think it would get to a point where it's like, okay, I'm either going to feel like I'm missing darn near everything, or I have to accept the idea that in my universe, my vision, my view of what Star Wars is, I can only allow it to be influenced by what I know, and otherwise I got to push everything else away. I think Mark hit it dead on that it's a coping mechanism, but you don't, when you walk into a debate, you know, if you're a politician going to go in there and talk about healthcare or something, you don't bring your shrink with you to psychoanalyze what you're saying. You don't go into your own brain. You have to talk about the things that are generally accepted factually. It's the old, what is it? Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. I think that's where the whole personal canon thing goes for me. You're not entitled to your own facts. Keep it personal if it's personal canon.
I think another issue is, you know, we talk about George's vision. And a lot of people will talk about George's vision like it's concrete. Like when he first sat down and thought up Star Wars, he had all this in mind. And then you watch these videos where in 94 he sits down to write the prequels and you're like, wait a minute. And he's talking like how he has no idea what he's going to write about. It's like, wait, I thought you had this all-encompassing vision. And we watch, like, say, at the end of Return or Revenge of the Sith, where we see the Tantive IV, and then we find out later, oh, no, that wasn't the Tantive IV. It's like, well, I thought these were the same ship. And you got to stop for a moment and go, what's going on? Why are we changing our mind? And I think there's a lot of fans that have issue with that. If the man who's laying the Bible down is going to change his mind mid-project and we have to call this, you know, the Bible, you begin to lose faith. I think that gets back to that coping mechanism for some of these fans. You know, I watch some of the older fans that just don't like the prequels. And it's the same thing. It just didn't measure up to what they thought it was going to be. And, you know, you watch the special editions, George goes back and makes a change here and there. And some of these fans, like, what George saw as a mistake, they saw as Star Wars, you know, and now it's being changed out of there. And so, again, I you know, like I say, it's a coping mechanism. Whether you're going to call it personal canon or just, you know, like Aaron was saying, if you don't know about the other stuff, it's not going to bother you. And that's another side of it. I mean, there are certain works that I haven't got the Marvel comics yet. The Clone Wars Digest. Those are the few comics that I don't collect. I got like two volumes so far. I find them on occasion. If they're a really good price, I'll get one. But there's no burning OCD desire like there is all the other comics, all the other books, because it never quite fits right. And so I'm always kind of scratching my head. So I'm just like, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. But again, it's my personal coping mechanism. So I know where it's coming from. And that's where Nathan gets at. You can't go into a forum and try to beat someone up with your own facts. I've seen this. And it's funny to watch. I mean, I talk about lives being circles. So I've seen different fans come in that are new and they've got their own opinions on what should be. And then they come in and they're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And on the same token, you'll have what I will occasionally kind of tongue-in-cheek call movie purists. The ones that only consider the movie and nothing else. And if anything at all in the EU, especially, and they take great joy, most of them, not all of them, but most of them take great joy anytime the EU goes in the face of something that they consider George's vision, and they're quick to throw it at those other people. And, you know, it's funny to watch just the different sides of these debates as they go on, because, you know, some, like Nathan said earlier, will come to it with an open mind, know where they sit, and realize that it's their own personal candy, and can set that aside and kind of learn other people's points of views. That's something I always enjoy. I mean, I like hearing about how other people are interpreting things. Sometimes I bang my head on the desk going, really? That's what you got? I mean, Darth Bane is a perfect example. At the end of that trilogy, we're left questioning whether or not the character survives in a form or is completely gone. And the author even flat out tells us in a way, but he left it just cryptic enough that there's enough fans out there to still disbelieve. And so I'm with Nathan in that regard. Sometimes we do need to have it spelled out, or you're just going to have these conflicts. And there's really no solution but the coping mechanism.
Well, let me ask this question to both of you then, because it's funny, because this whole idea of personal canon, doing a show on this came out of when Mark and I were talking about it, you know, when we talk on the Facebook page for the show, but then elsewhere, and it was just to hate personal canon. And the more I've thought about it since, you know, the more it's more of a hate in a certain context, don't use it in debate and whatnot. But from the perspective of the new fan, you know, if you've got someone who's coming in new to the saga now, I mean, we just passed the 20th anniversary of Heir to the Empire. I mean, that's not even the early stuff that has been dragged back into the EU, like the stuff all the way back to 76 with the first adaptation of A New Hope in novel form. I mean, we're talking about 20 years of modern EU that is supposed to connect in theory. 20 plus years now, because we're in 2012, is personal canon, as long as you keep it out of the broader debates, as long as you're at least intellectually honest in that sense, or you know, you accept the fact that there's more out there beyond what you are focused on, as long as you're acknowledging that sort of thing, is personal canon viable in any form, but especially is personal canon viable at least in terms of allowing a gateway into this, like the training wheels on a bicycle. You know, it makes me wonder if Star Wars fans without the concept of personal canon could get into the saga now at all. I mean, is this an all or nothing prospect, or is personal canon now the natural, necessary mid-step, the entryway into EU fandom? And God love them. Love the fact that we have people who are just now getting into it, who are taking the plunge despite all the different things they're going to have to catch up on. Is it a necessary step, or is it black or white?
That's a tough one. I sit here thinking, I want to say it's almost both. I mean, I don't know. Aaron, go ahead. I got to collect my thoughts on this. This is a really hard question.
I mean, I think it comes down to the individual. When it comes to, you can have your own personal canon, like you were saying, Nathan, as long as you're not bringing it into a debate, you know, as long as you're not bringing it into a discussion about Star Wars. But if you just want to have your own personal canon to yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. And so for a new fan, somebody that's coming into the EU, it's a huge, huge universe for them to get into. If they just want to read the novels and they don't want to, you know, get into the comics, don't want to get into the video games and all that stuff, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to tell them, oh no, you have to know about all this stuff and you have to accept it all as canon. You know, if you're a new fan and you just want to read the novels post Return of the Jedi and that's your canon, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think that's completely viable. So, Mark, did you gather your thoughts?
I guess I have a hard time in the aspect of, you know, there are certain fans that, like you said, the post Return of the Jedi, that's one of my favorite eras. And like I say, I've not been happy with all the decisions. I'm with you. I liked Anakin Solo's death, but I hated it. You know, I hated that he had to die then, but it was so well written that I got over it. Jason Solo's fall really just bothered me. And the fact that it seems to be that Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi really didn't tell you anything about what happened in the 5-year journey that really kind of explains what happened with the character. It bothers me, but I'm accepting. And that's my coping mechanism. I try to accept it all. But there's fans that they can't accept it, and so they go with their personal canon, which is cool. But then I guess I have a problem sometimes when they start to demand, well, I didn't like this, and so we should, you know, we need to scratch this all, you need to start over, and demanding it, you know. I mean, and I think, you know, a lot of fans have issues with other fans demanding anything, especially if it's something that they don't want to see themselves. So that you've got that side of things that's probably not part of the discussion we're having right now. But I think that's my main issue with the personal canon, is when we start to take our personal canon and want it to be enforced on mainstream Star Wars. And I think that's what the people that I label movie purists have issue with EU fans. Because, you know, the EU is so much larger that they're like, well, you know, that didn't happen in the movie, so quit forcing it on us. You know, one of the things I was absolutely tickled with in the Clone Wars was when we got the darksaber. The EU's had black lightsabers for a long time, but a lot of people would be, oh, it's not in the movies. George never, you know, it doesn't exist. And as soon as it was on the Clone Wars, I was like, ah, yes! And it came from George, it's G-level, it exists! You know? And there's a level of ridiculousness to the fact that I could get that excited about something that George brought in because now everyone's going to have to accept it. But that's the nature of this beast. I don't know. I don't know if that actually answers Nathan's question, though.
See, Mark, as an EU purist, I didn't even see it as a darksaber. I still see it as a vibroblade.
Nice. Yeah, I had a hard time, too. I was like, okay, George, we're going to pretend that the vibroblades don't exist, but we're going to design it exactly like a vibroblade. Okay.
Yeah, that was a vibroblade. Come on. We all know that was a vibroblade.
Love it.
You know, and that brings up, I guess, the idea here. Mark talked about how it seems like it's difficult for some fans who are movie purists to get out of their own sort of personal canon idea that it should just be the films. Isn't that, though, sort of the same thing for those of us who are essentially EU purists? I mean, I try to look at it from a very broad, open point of view, see everything that I can, just kind of acknowledge what their decisions have been, and if it's in continuity, it's in continuity. If it's not, it's not. But isn't an EU perspective that takes in the EU as the end-all and be-all of Star Wars, that accepts all of that, the breadth and scope of it, and doesn't acknowledge a sort of separate compartmentalization, perhaps, of Lucas's vision within that, or even perhaps to the side of that, the whole parallel universe thing. You know, there's the my world and there's the alternate world thing. isn't an EU purist perspective just as much an issue of personal canon being imposed on the viewpoints of others as movie purism is? I guess it seems to me that it's personal canon when it's more picking and choosing elements out of continuity to choose or not choose. In my mind, it seems different whenever we're dividing, going for EU or not going for EU. That doesn't feel like a personal canon decision to me. Is that personal canon on a level?
I'm with you, but I think that mainly, and I'm probably all three of us are not good examples of this, we're more equal opportunity, more accepting of everything, and I think in that mindset, the EU fan, their personal canon is not going to come into conflict. I mean, because they're going to find a way to make it work, or at least I will. I mean, that's where I'm coming from, so I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say that there are fans out there that probably do so.
And there's probably a lot of EU fans, especially fans of like the Republic comic series, that don't necessarily like the Clone Wars series stomping all over their version of the Clone Wars that was in the comics. So I'm sure there's plenty of EU fans out there that maybe in their personal canon, the Clone Wars TV show doesn't exist. So
yeah, you bring a great point. I mean, the Mandalorian fans, the Karen Travis fans that can't see both working. I don't see an issue. I mean, I saw a conflict, but I quickly found a way out of that with the Essential Atlas. But there are definitely factions in fandom that can't get over certain things. So I guess, yeah, it comes down to each person. And you know, anytime you label anything, you're not going to be able to label everyone right. And people are going to be put in the wrong label. And so it's definitely a difficult thing. I really think, though, with personal canon, it's one of those things you got to come at it with the right mindset. You know, like Nathan said, you can't make up your own facts. You can't lie to yourself. I mean, you know, the end of the day, it's George's vision. If you like Star Wars at all, you have to accept it. Whether you want to take that in, you have to accept the fact as a fact. You know, you might hate that fact, whatever. I think of Simon Pegg, a man who did not like the prequel trilogy at all, you know, viscerally couldn't stand it. And yet now he's on the Clone Wars. I mean, you know, here's someone that came around. So if he can do it, you know, I think fans shouldn't be mad at him for his ironic choice. They should be happy that he's decided to do something post-1997. Free your mind and the rest will follow. That's what I got to say. You know, personal canon can be a great thing. It's a great coping mechanism if there's something that you see that George provided, or say Leland Chi, although he doesn't write that often, Ryder Windham, Dan Wallace. I mean, you know, everybody's going to write something that you're not going to agree with. You can't love Star Wars 100% of the time. There's going to be something. If it's a puppet Yoda or a Yaddle or you name it, there's something out there that's just going to rub you the wrong way. Jar Jar Binks. You know, it's just out there. My wife, she really can't stand Luke Skywalker. Oh my gosh, I said it. But you know, everybody has something. That's her background chuckling at me. But it's just one of those things, man. I mean, everybody's got something about it. They can't handle the personal canon as your coping mechanism. Like I say, free your mind, the rest will follow.
And for me, I mean, just overall thoughts, when it comes to personal canon, I mean, Star Wars is Star Wars. They've given us G-level stuff and the C-level stuff and everything out there, and I accept it all as canon. I know some people don't. Personal canon can be dangerous. It, like we were talking about, you know, if you're bringing it into a debate or discussion, you know, that's where it can get kind of iffy. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily wrong for people to have a personal canon. Just, you know, keep it out of the debates.
And to wrap up the final thoughts, I guess I'll just end with the idea of, you know, I'm right there with these guys. You know, you need to do a little bit of both. If you want to use Star Wars personal canon as your way of getting into the saga, absolutely do it. You know, whatever will get you into the saga. If we don't have new readers coming in, especially now in an era when a lot of stories are being told that aren't with the film characters, then eventually the appeal of the EU will die, and as will the audience, and the saga will eventually shrink down with it, and we won't be getting more new stories. New readers are the lifeblood of keeping the EU alive as it stands. As for debates, you know, be intellectually honest. Go out there and acknowledge what exists, what decisions have been made by the creative teams, and then on your own, when you decide what you enjoy, well, go with what you enjoy. You know, that's what this is all supposed to be about in this hobby here. Now, of course, we could go on forever, it seems like, with topics like this because it does generate so many different tangential ideas, but we need to call it here just to make sure that our show doesn't go over what it needs to be on Middle Earth Network Radio. So, if you want to enjoy the discussion with us and interact, hop over to Facebook, just look up Star Wars Beyond the Films, no punctuation or anything in there, and you'll find us on there, or check us out on Twitter at SW Beyond Films, with no spaces or punctuation within that either, and you can discuss these issues with us, or drop by StarWarsReport.com, where you can leave comments on the blog pages for each episode's release. Heck, you can even swing by iTunes and such and post reviews of the show, which we would also greatly appreciate. For Star Wars Beyond the Films, this has been Nathan Butler,
Mark Herleman,
and Aaron Goins.
May the Force be with you. We'll catch you next time.
And don't quote us the odds.